Welcome to Time on Trade with Mitch Cleary.
Oh yes, here to drive you home for the next hour, 1300 736 736. You're with Mitch Cleary on Time on Trade. I'll bring you some news on a Premiership Tiger as well, who has nominated his club of interest or has told the Tigers where he wants to play in 2020. We'll get to that, but there's plenty to unpack. Keen for you to get involved over the next hour as well. 1300 736 736 on the open line for Westmix. But we had a few trades today, so let's get to it. All thanks to Drinkwise.
Today's big moments for Drinkwise. You won't miss a trade moment if you drink wise.
It had been on the cards for the best part of 2 or 3 months. Ed Langdon now officially a Melbourne Demon, joining on a long-term deal. Melbourne and Fremantle coming to terms today. So the Demons receive Langdon, pick 26 and a future fourth rounder. Fremantle receives picks 22, 79 and a future second. So to break that down, essentially the Dockers move up 4 spots in the 20s this year and receive a future second round pick. Langdon to Jordan Tomlinson, who's already come across from the Giants, a wing on each side. So Langdon and Tomlinson to really help the wing roles at the Demons. Here's the head of footy at that footy club speaking about the acquisition today.
Yeah, Kane, the targets during this period were Adam Tomlinson. We're able to get through free agency and Ed Langdon. And they both play really important roles. They both play on the wing. They're different types of players, but what they bring to our midfield is real running power. And particularly Ed with his speed as well and the mix that he brings in that. And it's been an area that we've needed to address and really pleased that we've been able to do it reasonably early in trade period.
One Demon goes in, one goes out. His name is Sam Frost. He's officially a Hawthorn footballer as well. He's reaching a trade with Melbourne today. The Hawks receive Frost, picks 42, 61 and a future fourth. Melbourne receive pick 50 and a future second. So a bit of a, you know, a convoluted trade. Essentially, the Demons will be pretty happy to get their hands on a future second. A couple of picks in the third and fourth rounds go out. Here's Marnie speaking about losing Sam Frost today.
We don't think so. I mean, the numbers that you've said is we expect those guys to get back and play. And they've both had, you know, obviously, Jake Lever missed a fair bit with an ACL and Stephen May in his 1 year so far. But both are off the back of a strong pre-season. We expect them to play majority of games next year. And Austin McDonald had an interrupted pre-season this year. We think he can get back to what he was able to produce in 2018. And we've got Harrison Petty as well. So it's always a consideration when we're looking at trading out a player, making sure our depth is appropriate, but Sam played a great role for us for 5 years. He had a really good season this year, and he's got a great opportunity at Hawthorn, a longer deal and better financially than we could offer, so it's well done to Sam.
So Josh Marnie there, the head of footy at the Demons, he's talking about losing Sam Frost, but feels they've got the depth now with Jake Lever, Stephen May, Oscar McDonald to fill those roles. Demons fans, keen to hear from you over the next hour, 1300 736 736. You've gained Ed Langdon, Adam Tomlinson earlier in the week as a free agent. Sam Frost goes out. Where do you think your footy club is situated right now? Are they ready to make that push back into the top eight? A pick swap today as well. The Eagles and the Lions. So the Eagles get picks 46 and 91. The Lions receive 52 and 64. So a win-win for both parties. Since essentially the Eagles move up 6 spots from 52 to 46. So that's going to be their first pick in the draft this year because they'd moved out so many assets for that Tim Kelly trade. So the Eagles now armed with pick 46. We had the PricewaterhouseCooper breakfast this morning in partnership with Connors Sports. So a big breakfast down in Southbank. 8 clubs were there. We'll hear from them over the next hour. But the Bombers, they're the most curious heading into the weekend. Joe Danaher requested a trade to Sydney. Here's the Bombers' list boss, Adrian Dodoro, talking about Danaher and the prospect of keeping him at the club.
We've had 3 discussions with him, be it brief. Our position hasn't changed at all, mate. We're really clear. We don't think that this draft will replace a guy of Joey's ilk. 203 centimetres, you know, a gun key forward. They're just so hard to find. And he's very, very highly valued at our club. We love him. We love the Danaher family. And we think that once we get over this period, there's no reason why, you know, Joey can't fall back in love with the club.
Adrian Dodoro there speaking about the prospect of Danaher. The players are in his ear. We saw Dyson Heppel try and did successfully twist Orazio Fantasia's arm this week. He's staying. I imagine a late backflip from Joe. I don't think it's going to happen. He was the one that came out publicly and said he wants to go to the Swans. So that is still on the cards. Let's see now whether the Bombers can somehow get in his ear, but looks like he'll be playing for the Swans unless a deal can't be facilitated. Just a bit of other news, non-trade related. Fremantle have appointed Simon Garlick, the former Western Bulldogs boss, as the new Dockers CEO. And Adelaide today sacking head of footy Brett Burton and their senior assistant Scott Campriali. So some big moves already at the Crows. Taylor Walker stepped down as co-captain. Dom Pike walked out as coach today, sacking their head of footy and their senior assistant. Keen to get the take of Crows fans as well. 1300 736 736. That's all the big news. Thanks to Drinkwise. You won't miss a moment if you drink wise. We'll take some Demons fans' reaction off the Sam Frost and Ed Langdon moves today. We'll start with John in South Yarra, wanting to chat about Sam Frost. John, good evening.
G'day there. How are you going?
Well, thank you.
Good. Look, yeah, just wanted to comment a little bit, obviously, long-time D's fan, on Sam Frost leaving the club today. I've read a lot of Melbourne people through social media a bit unhappy, thinking we've been shortchanged, not getting value for Frost. I know he had a great season this year, but I think people need to be reminded of the fact that Melbourne had a really poor season this year and were without probably their two, or what they foresee being their two best key defenders. And I'm not sure that Frost's sort of erratic, chaotic style out of the back line actually suits players further up the field and actually benefits the team. I'm interested in your thoughts on that. And I guess whether getting in Tomlinson now and Langdon, I actually see as better ball users and probably more suited to the style that they're trying to create. I think part of our problem last year was that, you know, we might have bounced it out of the back line a little too quickly without a lot of direction. And a lot of the time, Frosty, and I love Frosty, and I think he has a go and he's hard at it. He's hard. You know, he can play tall, small, and all that sort of thing. But he really did sort of often turn the ball over in sort of bad circumstances, and it often went back over his head for a goal. So I'm not sure that we've lost a lot in Frost. I wish him all the best at Hawthorn. I'm interested.
Yeah, it's interesting. So Simon Goodwin, I loved his quote during the season when speaking about Sam Frost, saying whenever he gets the ball, we call it Frost ball because we don't exactly know what's going to happen. There is a bit of erratic play to what he brings, Sam Frost. I actually like him as a defender. I heard Nick Riewoldt say during the season, pure defenders at the Demons, he had Sam Frost ahead of Lever and May. So I reckon I'm more in the camp of, I think the Demons should have kept Frost as that third defender. I think with May and Lever, he's the ideal third type. I understand he's not a great kick, but I would have Sam Frost ahead of Oscar McDonald in my pecking order at the Demons. So I was a little bit bemused that they couldn't come to a deal. I'm sure that the Demons would have had something for him. They said that they didn't reach out with a formal offer, but I think it was more because he had shown an intent to go to Hawthorn. But I thought the ideal world, in my eyes, would have been May, Lever, and then Frost as your third. But maybe that's what they see with Tomlinson. They can have him roll back in front of the defence and have Langdon as a ball user. I think Tomlinson and Langdon are going to be great assets for the Demons this year. I just think Frost was a little bit of an interesting one. Looking at his games, he's played 91 games, played all 22 this year for the Demons, the first time he'd ever played more than 16 games in a year. So a career-best season for Sam Frost, finishing the top 10 at the Demons. I thought they might have kept on to him, but clearly down at Amy Park, they've got better plans and better thought for next year than us. Thanks for your call. We'll head to the Gold Coast next. Paul's on the line, wants to chat about Essendon's mids. Paul?
No, we're just curious, how many big-bodied mids do you think the Bombers need to be competitive? There's some damn good midfields out there. How far are they away?
I've been saying for some time now, Paul, I reckon they needed one big-body midfielder. They went after Will Setterfield last year. He's that 188, 190, big-body, that crash-and-bash type inside mid. He didn't show it a great deal at Carlton this year, but I think he'd be much better this year at the Blues because he'll have a full pre-season after his knee troubles. The player that I've raised this year is Aiden Bonner. Similar on big money, the Giants, 2 years to run. The Bombers will have to pay quite a bit of that wage to get him out. The Giants aren't expecting too much for his return, but it's just the wage that might be scaring a few clubs off. Because you look at the Essendon midfield, you've got Devon Smith, Zach Merritt, Dylan Scheel. They're not the biggest body midfield. So David Myers has retired. So I reckon a like-for-like for Myers as a big body would work, and Bonner fits that bill. That's the one thing I reckon would work. Ollie Wines is one that we've linked and spoken about. It's not going to happen, but that type of player, Paul, I reckon would be great for the Bombers going forward. Thanks for your call. Nathan's in Craigieburn, wants to chat about one of the five deals the Saints have got to work through. We'll tell you about the fifth in just a moment. Nathan?
Yeah, good evening. I've got a quick question regarding Brad Hill.
Yep.
And I might add a number six with my second question.
Far away.
My first one is Brad Hill. If he doesn't, the deal doesn't get done, and is there any chance of Brad Hill going into the draft and putting a set price on himself, and isn't that like a different way of working your way around it because he really wants to come to St Kilda?
It's not possible because he's a contracted player. He's got 2 years to run on his deal at the Dockers. That's not going to be happening, Nathan. Your second point?
Yeah, my second point is if Brad Hill's deal doesn't go through, the Saints turn to on another target, which is Brad Crouch, and give him the 5-year deal he's after, the money he's after, and get him through, replace Jack Stephen?
I don't think so. I reckon they're more looking for that wingman. The one player that I thought today, just spitballing a bit with the boys in the AFL.com.au office, were if the Hill deal was to fall over, do they go and look at a wingman like Isaac Smith? That would be more like for like, in my opinion. I don't see the Crouch one eventuating now. The Crows have been pretty steadfast on that not happening. And you'd need more than 12 and 18 to get him out. The Crows aren't going to accept just one first-round pick right now. If Crouch was to leave, the only place I see it now would be Gold Coast because they've got more assets to deal with when it comes to draft picks. So I couldn't see Crouch leaving for 12 or 18. It would need to be both, and it wouldn't be possible now with the Saints, just with everything they're trying to squeeze in. Thanks for your call. Norbert's in Avondale Heights. Norbert?
Yeah, g'day, mate. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Awesome. Love the show. Keep up the great work. Look, in previous years, there's always been one trade that, I suppose, held back all the other trades and have that ripple effect. Is there one particular trade that's holding everything back this year? Or
if I had to say one, I would probably say Tom Papley. I think the Danaher one with Essendon and City seems a little bit more isolated with just those two clubs. When you look at Papley, I reckon that might be the Papley one might be holding up Carlton's pursuit for Jack Martin. It's holding up the Danaher one as well. So if I was to say one right now, Norbert, I reckon it would be the Papley one. I still think it will happen, but it might be one that we're talking about still on the final Wednesday when it closes at 7:30 Australian Daylight Savings Time here in Melbourne. So keep your eye on the Papley one. Whether the Blues part with nine, do they try and split that nine to a couple of other first-round picks? We'll keep our eye on it. But if I had to say one right now, it would be Tom Papley. Thanks for your call. Josh is in Ashvale Gardens. Josh, wanted to chat about that man we spoke about, Aiden Bonner. Josh?
Yeah, hey, Mitch. How you going?
Good, thank you.
I was just wondering, I'm an Essendon supporter. I was just wondering if you know who's interested in Bonner?
Yeah, that's the thing. So we've all spoken about how much of a good fit he'd be. I don't have any definitive clubs that have shown interest. I reckon the Bombers would be an ideal fit. The Giants said today they'd only want to pick around the 30s for him. The Bombers did a pick swap yesterday or a couple of days ago with West Coast and Geelong. So the Bombers have got a couple of picks in that 30s range. I reckon it would be just a perfect fit for Aiden Bonner. But I don't have any definitive clubs. North Melbourne always need midfield depth. He's a Dandenong boy from down that way. So St Kilda, I'm sure, have looked at it. Hawthorn as well. But I don't have any clubs that are crying and screaming for Aiden Bonner. Every chance he just goes back and plays at the Giants next year. But the Giants have spoken about it themselves. They've got so much midfield depth. Bonner couldn't get a look in at the pointy end this year. And that was without Ward and Canelio in the team. They've still got Jackson Hatley and Jai Caldwell waiting in the wings, and they're about to bring in a top five pick in Tom Green through the draft as part of their academy. So if he's not getting a game now, Aiden Bonner, he's never going to in that midfield. So that's why his name's come up, and that's why the Giants are shopping him around. Jimmy's in Brisbane, wants to talk about Brad Hill. Jimmy?
Yeah, g'day, mate. I was just wondering, I have three quick parts to this about Brad Hill. I wanted to know to start with the likelihood of him still getting to St Kilda and what the deal looks like being. And I also had a deal of my own to get him. I was wondering if pick 12, our future second round pick, and Blake Akers could get that done.
It would work in principle. I've looked at the Akers one. I just don't think the Dockers are that keen. He's definitely on the table from the Saints, Blake Akers. Make no bones about that. They've been shopping his name around for a while, and I think Blake is well and truly aware of that fact. It's just a matter of now coming up with a deal that's going to suit Fremantle. So six and the future third didn't suit them. I reckon now Fremantle would be demanding 12 and the future first, but the Saints' issue is they've got to keep that future first up their sleeve for a package for Ben King next year from Gold Coast. So these are the things that clubs have to work through. I'm fascinated to see what St Kilda's next move on Brad Hill is, because pick six and the future third wasn't able to cut it when they spoke on Wednesday, as Damien Barrett and Mark McGowan have reported on AFL.com.au. The meeting was over pretty quick and they stormed out the Saints. So much to work through on Bradley Hill. And I spoke about Tom Papley being the one that's holding everything up. Well, right now, as we head to the weekend, I reckon the most fascinating deal as it sits is Bradley Hill and his move to St Kilda. 1300 736 736. Get involved on the open line for Westmix. Those in the know Westmix is the go. More of your calls after the break, and we'll bring you some news on a Richmond Premiership forward. You're with Mitch Cleary on Time on Trade.
You're listening to Time on Trade.
You don't need
a trade news update for Beaumont Tiles. During Beaumont's mega floor clearance, it's goodbye ugly.
Finally, we've had a few pick swaps. We had a few players change clubs today. So Ed Langdon officially off to Melbourne, a deal struck with Fremantle today. Sam Frost gets his wish. He is now a Hawthorn footballer, and a pick swap between West Coast and the Lions. The Eagles move up a couple of picks from 52 to 46 as a result. That's the latest news, all thanks to Beaumont Tiles. Get rid of ugly with Beaumont's floor clearance. You'll be happy you chose Beaumont. So we'll get back to the Westmix open line. Emmanuel's in Queensland. Emmanuel?
Hey, mate. How you going, Mitch? Yeah, I'm just ringing up about Brad Hill. The reason why Fremantle is playing hardball with Brad Hill is because he's worth more than to Fremantle than probably any other club. And also, you just got to go back and have a look at Lockie Weller, who wanted to leave the club. He was highly rated by Fremantle. So I don't blame Fremantle at all for playing a hard ball on these trades, particularly when they're worth, some of these players are worth so much to Fremantle. I think good on Peter Bell for having the guts to stand up to these clubs and try and force them come up with something that suits them.
I'm going to say well done to Peter Bell if he can get a better deal than six and a future third. So it's all good and well for them to dig their heels in and demand so much from the Saints. But the Saints had pick six and a future third on the table yesterday, and it didn't happen. It didn't eventuate. So I'm going to praise Peter Bell if they can get more than that. But he could easily walk back and go back to the Dockers, Bradley Hill. You're right. He's got 2 years to run on his contract. From the Dockers' standpoint, they're saying, we paid a lot of money and we were the ones that took the risk on Bradley Hill to give him a 5-year deal when he left Hawthorn. Interestingly, his value was pick 23 when he moved as a triple premiership player from Hawthorn to the Dockers. But the Lockie Weller point you make is an interesting one. I don't think we can use that as a proper gauge. Clearly, the Gold Coast Suns paid overs. This is when they were losing players for fun. They had pick 2 on the table. They just went and got that one done. So I don't think you can use what St Kilda is offering for Bradley Hill as ballpark for Lockie Weller, but it did happen. It's in the books and it's there forever. I just don't think it's a fair and reasonable assessment, because the Gold Coast Suns were in ruins at the time. Thanks for your call. Jason's from Yerongillipi. Wants to talk about North Melbourne. Jason?
Yes. It seems Brad Hill's just motivated to get back to Victoria, so could a club like North Melbourne with a top 10 pick send him out over the weekend and make it happen?
Well, six and a future third didn't get it done for St Kilda and Fremantle, so the North Melbourne Footy Club are going to need more than their pick 8 that they've currently got. Of all the clubs in Victoria that need a wingman, I don't think North Melbourne is one, Jace, because you've got Jared Pollock, you've got Aaron Hall, you've got those guys. Trent DeMont's played that role pretty well this year, so I just don't think the need for a wingman like Bradley Hill is there at Arden Street, but I'm sure other clubs are asking the question. In saying that, Josh Marnie said today that they're not going to try and facilitate a move for Bradley Hill. They were interested early, but his money and his demands when it comes to his wage don't stack up with what Melbourne can do. Thanks for your call. Matt's in Cheltenham, wants to weigh in on the Bradley Hill discussion as well. Matt?
G'day, Mitch. How are you, mate?
Well, thank you.
Yep. this Bradley Hill thing is bizarre. And just to give you a reverse, so I'm a St Kilda supporter, but I've spent a lot of time in Perth and got a lot of mates there. And, yeah, the talking today in Perth is the public and especially the footy public are just absolutely incredulous that Peter Bell let pick six and a future third round and Blake Akers, I might add, that seems to be the bit that's a bit lost in all this, literally walk out his front door and he's they're kind of snookered. Yes, Brad Hill can come back, but yeah, good luck getting a happy Brad Hill playing for your footy club. And let's face it, most players who announce they want to out and go somewhere get there. So, you know, Brad Hill probably will get to St Kilda, but the other dimension, and I think Tom Morris spoke about it last night, is that if you've spent any time in Perth at all, you just know how much power Colin Young wields in Perth. And he's got 17 Freo players on his list. Do you think he's not going to completely firebomb Freo over the next three trade periods? Like, they're not getting anyone. It's absolutely incredulous to think that Peter Bell would go head-to-head with Graham Allen and Colin Young and think that he was going to out-muscle him. Yes, he might keep Brad Hill for 2 years, but good luck getting stellar output out of Brad Hill for the next 2 years, knowing that you know, he could have taken pick six, a future third, and Blake Akers, and everyone kind of would have been happy.
It's a good point you make. You talk about the Colin Young situation. He's the same manager that made Cam McCarthy sit out of footy for a year when the Dockers, when the shoe was on the other foot, they tried to get Cam McCarthy from a GWS player to the Fremantle Dockers. They made him sit out a season. At that same time, the Dockers were throwing the kitchen sink at GWS for Cam McCarthy. They said, no way, he's contracted at our footy club. He then set out a year of footy. I'm not saying in any way Bradley Hill has threatened to do that, but it's a good point you make about bringing and having an unhappy player like Bradley Hill at your footy club. The number is about 17, I think. It's a good assessment on that, because I'm looking through the Fremantle list right now. These are some of the players that Colin Young has on his books. Griffin Logue, Reece Conker, Michael Walters is a big one. He got Nathan Wilson back to the Dockers as well. Looking through some more Colin Young clients, you just go through the list. McCarthy is one. Who else we got here? Stephen Hill is on his books as well. So he does wield a lot of power, Colin Young, when it comes to the Dockers. I'm all for Peter Bell digging the heels in, but now you're going to have egg on your face if you don't get better than six, a future third, and Blake Akers, who was raised. I don't think the Dockers are that keen on Blake Akers, but if they can't get a better deal than that when the closure runs on Wednesday, if they get stuck with 12 and something else, they are going to be embarrassed when they face the media and face their members, more importantly, at the back end of the trade period. Thanks for your call, Matt. It's a really strong assessment on where the Dockers sit. We head to John on the road, wants to chat about the Pies. Good evening, John.
Yeah, hi. How are you going, Mitch? Well done on your summation so far of the trade. It's been pretty good to listen to it because it sort of encapsulates everything rather than a lot of the fluff. But yeah, I wanted to talk about Darcy Cameron and what Collingwood would need to give to Sydney and why that deal hasn't been done. It seemed like one that was just going to happen, but so far nothing's happened. And yeah.
Yeah, it's a good question. There's so many of these that I thought would have just gone through. You talk about John Patton. I thought Sam Jacobs, once the free agency period closed today and the Giants didn't need to worry about matching a bid for him, they would have just done that as a trade today. I'm looking at Collingwood's picks. They've got 69. They've got 74. I think if I was Sydney, they're probably asking for a future third or a future fourth for Darcy Cameron, because the Swans have got so much more than their priority list next year when it comes to the draft than this season. The Swans have got a couple of academy kids they've got to try and bring in next year. So maybe that's what the haggling is over. It gets done. And if he doesn't, he just walks as a delisted free agent, Darcy Cameron. The Swans aren't digging their heels in by any stretch on Darcy Cameron. So that's one that I agree. I thought it would have gone through almost first part of business on Monday when the period opened, but I think this one, there's not too much holding it up that I can see unless something has come from left field. The only thing I'd say on that, the Blues had shown some interest in Darcy Cameron, and they've got a bit of a conundrum with their ruck situation because you've got Matthew Cruiser at the Blues, contracted. They've just delisted Matthew Lobe. So the only man currently behind behind Cruiser is Andrew Phillips. He's only been offered a one-year deal with a trigger at the Blues. He's got a bit of interest from Essendon, so he's weighing that up over the weekend, Andrew Phillips. They're going to need something else if Phillips walks out at the Blues. So that's the only thing. I'm just raising it as a potential that, Cameron, the Blues, have got in his ear, but I haven't heard anything to suggest that. Thanks, John. We'll head to Salisbury East. So I think that's over in South Australia. Adrian's on the line. Good evening, Adrian.
G'day, Mitch. Firstly, I wanted to say, mate, love your show. Great work. Secondly, I wanted to have a bit of a chat about the Crows tonight. I mean, obviously, interesting developments with the changes that happened at West Lakes today. I mean, I think Brett Burton, in all honesty, needed to go, considering he was supposedly the mastermind behind the camp. And that seems to be the biggest, I guess, fallout, or, you know, one of the biggest reasons that some of the players want out. Secondly, I'm just wanting to get a bit of an update in terms of what's going on with the trades. You know, I'm hearing the Jacobs and Betts moves were supposedly imminent sort of, you know, a couple of days ago, but still nothing's gone through. And whether there's any sort of further update as to sort of whether there's any interest in Josh Jenkins and also what's happening with Alex Keith and Heath Greenwood.
So the Greenwood one, I think they're ready to speak again on Monday or Tuesday. The Crows, I can't see that falling over. I think there's pretty good dialogue between both the Crows and the Suns. Betts, I'm expecting both parties to sort that one out on Monday. So I think we'll see Eddie Betts unveiled in a polo at the Blues again, back in his old number 19 come Monday. I'm with you on the Jacobs. I thought that would have happened, so I'm not sure exactly what the holdup is in that. It'll be a later pick. The Giants won't be giving up too much for Sam Jacobs. And you talk about Eddie Betts. Well, this is Justin Reid today speaking at the Connors Sports Breakfast about Eddie Betts. Been a few reports about pick 47. Justin Reid putting that to bed.
Deal for Eddie Betts. It was reported a couple of days ago that it was done. It hasn't gone through yet. Are you still working out the deal?
No, not quite at the moment. So just working behind the scenes with Soss and Eddie and his management. So, yeah, we're having positive talks, sir.
The pick of 47 hasn't been agreed upon yet?
I'm not sure where that came from, so I think...
It was reported in the Herald Sun, but that's...
Nah, that's incorrect.
Okay.
No deal yet on Eddie Betts, but I'm expecting that one to go through on Monday. And you spoke about Rob Chapman and the Crows board. They've made the call today. They've sacked Brett Burton. They've sacked the senior assistant coach, Scott Campriale, after the findings of the external review. This is Rob Chapman speaking a little earlier here on Telstra Trade Radio about the future at the Crows.
You know, we knew, you know, we sort of really positioned us for 2017 and then we backed, you know, the group in 2018 and we had a lot of injuries that year, if you remember. And then we did some change and we thought that was the aberration and we went into 2019 and, you know, we didn't achieve what we wanted to achieve. So, look, there'll be some transition of players out. We do need to, amend the age profile of the list. Sure. So that rejuvenation is definitely underway. It will be a new look. There'll be a new coach. There'll be, you know, the newly created position, perhaps a senior assistant, depending upon who the new coach is. It will be a new look, but one that, you know, we've spoken to all the players, or as many as we can get hold of today, the leadership group, staff, the other remaining coaches, and everyone's pretty excited about it, quite frankly.
That was Rob Chapman. He's the president of the Adelaide Footy Club. Take the next call. Darian's in Cranbourne. Darian?
Hi, mate. Loving the show. My question is on Tom Tapley. Since his manager has said, look, his preferred club is Carlton, but he's open to come to Melbourne. Could a team like Hawthorn, which has got pick 11, go to Sydney and say, hey, here's pick 11. We want Tom Tapley. And then you can use this pick and your pick 4, Joe Danaher. Would that be ever a possibility, or is Carlton the main one?
I'm sure it's always a possibility. The Hawks, I reckon, do need some small forward depth. And Tom Papley would be more than depth. He'd be a star in that forward line. I just haven't heard them linked to him. And if it's not Carlton, it's probably North Melbourne next in line on Tom Papley. This is Silvani today. Stephen Silvani, the list boss at the Carlton Footy Club giving an update on Tom Papley negotiations.
Your good friend Adrian Dodoro's had three conversations with Sydney about Joe Danaher. How many have you had with Sydney about Tom Papley?
Not too sure how many, but excuse me. Yeah, we're obviously speaking, so that's a start.
Is pick nine well and truly on the table? Can we put that on the public record?
Look, we're working with Sydney, and obviously I'm not going to say what's on the table, but I think we've been really respectful in terms of how a deal may look if we could get something done.
You're confident that that will be done by the trade period deadline?
I'm not saying I'm confident, but I think what we're trying to work through is respectful to Sydney, and hopefully we can come up with a deal that they feel is fair and reasonable.
That's Stephen Silvani speaking about one small forward, Tom Papley. I want to get to another. His name is Dan Butler. Here's his manager, Alex McDonald of Hemisphere Management, speaking about his client earlier in the week.
Dan's probably been a bit of a victim. Don't like using that word, but of a great club and some players that came in. I think, you know, Lynch probably with Riewoldt at the same time. There was another spot in the forward line. And, you know, I think when he went out of the team, he led the defensive one percenters for the club. But they wanted to sort of trick up their forward line a little bit, bring in Bolton, and Castagna was probably the one that had a fantastic year and probably kept him out. He had a great year at VFL level, and he loves the club. But and Richmond have even said if there wasn't an opportunity, it's how good a club they are and how much they rate him as a person, they'd look at doing something. But I think, you know, it sort of points to him having to consider his options.
Is Carlton still in the frame there?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. There's been mixed messages coming from the club, that's all.
Yeah. I clarified that yesterday. It's probably down to sort of Carlton and St Kilda.
Okay.
A couple of others that showed some interest.
So the Carlton mixed messaging was Stephen Silvani on Monday saying they weren't interested. Their list boss or their list manager being Michael Grester said they were. I've confirmed tonight that the Carlton Footy Club are not interested and won't be pursuing Dan Butler unless something extraordinary happens and they miss Jack Martin and Tom Papley. So as it sits tonight, the Richmond Footy Club are aware that Dan Butler wants to play his footy at St Kilda in 2020. So it was already four. Make that five players have expressed an interest to play at the St Kilda Footy Club. Bradley Hill, Dougal Howard, Paddy Ryder, Zach Jones, and now Dan Butler. The Blues are out of that race. Richmond believe that Dan Butler wants to play at the Saints. The Tigers, though, they won't be standing in his way. They only want a fourth or fifth round pick. This is not going to be the Tigers digging their heels in any way and wanting a really good compensation for Dan Butler. They're more than happy to have their 2017 premiership forward walk to that footy club, and they're happy to try and accommodate that move for him. So Dan Butler telling the Tigers that he is most likely and keen to move to the Saints. He does, though, fall fifth on their priority list, but I don't think it's going to take too much to unfold. So Tigers fans, Saints fans, give us your take. 1-300-736-736 on the open line for Westmix. Those in the know Westmix as they go. Your calls and more news after the break.
You're listening to Time on Trade. You're listening to Time on Trade with Mitch Cleary.
Just backing out of that news we brought you before the break. Richmond believe Dan Butler want to play at St Kilda next year. So it's five trade targets for the Saints: Bradley Hill, Dougal Howard, Paddy Ryder, Zach Jones, and Dan Butler. The asking price won't be anything significant. It'll be a fourth or fifth round pick for Dan Butler. The Tigers more than happy to try and facilitate that deal for their 2017 premiership forward. The Age just brought some news on Joe Danaher as well, and that deal with Sydney. We'll bring that to you in just a moment as well. But firstly, Cruz is on the line on the Westmix open line in Ballarat. Cruz, good evening.
Go, mate. How you going?
Good, thank you.
That's great. Just wanted to see if there was any validity in the report that came out yesterday afternoon about Zach Fisher and the Bulldogs.
I don't think so. I think the question might get asked. We're talking about footy clubs that ask questions about 200, 300, even up to 400 players a year. So nothing that I can see happening with Zach Fisher. He's happy at Carlton, got a great relationship with the new coach. So I can't see anything happening with Zach Fisher and leaving Carlton. Thanks for your call. Levion is in Caulfield. Good evening.
Yeah, I'm hearing that Jizzy Cameron will come to the Pies without losing anyone because of the culture, especially, and also Ned Guy is doing something special, and there just has to be trust and players are willing to take cuts just to stay with a great footy club like the Magpies.
Gee whiz, unless Jeremy Cameron's playing on $500,000 a year, which would be well under than what he's worth, I couldn't see that happening. The point you make about his manager, though, Ned Guy was his previous manager in partnership with Alex McDonald. He is now the list boss at the Pies. So it could be something cooking Levy on, but I don't think this season it's happening right now. Sam's on the road, wants to chat about a few contracts. Sam?
Yeah, look, I look at all this player trade with a great deal of scepticism. Brett Hill seems to have traded and put a price on his head that makes him pretty much untradeable to anyone else. So Melbourne can't fit him in, etc. I mean, good on Freo for saying, listen, buddy, we can't get a good deal for you. You've got another few years to go. You stay here. You play here. I mean, what worth is a contract anyway? I mean, even Stevens, he wants to go back to his family in Geelong. For Pete's sake, it's a 40-minute drive down the road from Melbourne to Geelong. If you sign a contract, you fulfil it. Otherwise, the team that's got you get the best result for them. The tail can't wag the dog. The dog's got to wag the tail.
I love what you're saying, and I agree with most of it, but Fremantle can't have it both ways. Look at who they've targeted as contracted players recently. They went and picked up Jesse Hogan, who had years to run his contract at Melbourne. They went and got Nathan Wilson from the Giants. They threw a massive offer at Cam McCarthy when he was under contract at the Giants. So if they're going to do it, go back to a quote that Graham Wright said earlier in the week. He said, you'd be silly and you'd be immature to think that clubs weren't meeting with players during the year. Well, clubs are silly, in my opinion, silly and immature if they're not targeting contracted players. Everyone's doing it. Just got to get on ball with it. The Dockers do have the upper hand in this because Hill's got 2 years to run, but they're just going to, if he's going to walk right now, it needs to be more than pick six and a future third, because it's going to be embarrassing for the Dockers if they accept anything less right now. Zane's in Brisbane, wants to chat about the Lions. Good evening, Zane.
Hey, Mitch, hope you're well. I just want your opinion on this one. I was listening the other day. I heard David Noble shut down the possibility of Josh Jenkins coming to the Lions, which actually shocked me a bit because I see him and McStay as very similar players. McStay is a 20-goal-a-season player and Jenkins is a 40 to 60-goal a season player. With Jenkins there, Hipwood could move up the field, and I think Hipwood's struggling a little bit, taking all the heat as one main full forward position, and the Lions are right in the hitting zone for the premiership. What would be your thoughts on Josh Jenkins coming to the Lions, because they wouldn't have to pay a lot for it?
They definitely went after Josh Jenkins in a big way a couple of years ago when he had that out-of-contract season at the Crows. That didn't eventuate. He stayed on a long-term deal at the Adelaide Footy Club. I personally just don't see the need now, because the man you've forgotten is Oscar McInerney. He's the up-and-coming forward ruck. I think he plays that role pretty well, and he's only going to get better. So I think it'd be a pretty stacked forward line if you had McStay, Hipwood and McInerney trying to work in with Josh Jenkins. So I can't see it happening personally, but I think Jenkins, and I agree with what Paddy Dangerfield said yesterday, he's too good not to have a home for next year. One more quick call. Steve's in Mentone, wants to chat about the Saints. Steve?
Hey, just wanting to know in regards to St Kilda's priority and trading order. Are they waiting for Stephen and Bruce to leave before they do any deals, or what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think that's all part of it. They need a few more assets to deal because they've got six, or they did have six, so they've got 12 and 18 right now, the Saints, and their next pick is not until, I think the 60s. So I'm just bringing up the Saints list. So right now St Kilda has picks 12, 18, 76 and 82. So 12, I'm sure, is going to be used in the Hill conversation. The Power are going to demand 18 for Dougal Howard. But we haven't even factored in Paddy Ryder, Zach Jones or Dan Butler yet. So Butler goes late. I think Ryder and Jones might be the ones they're waiting on for Stephen and Bruce. So a bit to work out. The Saints are going to have their busy. They're the busiest club, no doubt, heading into next week. Thanks for your call, Steve. We'll head to a quick break. Don't forget, get involved on the Westmix open line. Those in the know Westmix is the go. 1-300-736-736.
You're listening to Time on Trade. You're listening to Time on Trade with Mitch Cleary. A trade news update for Tintacar. Tintacar, darkest legal now from $295.
If you've just jumped in the Chariot this Friday night, this is what you've missed. Ed Langdon, officially a Melbourne footballer. Sam Frost, officially a Hawthorn footballer. The Crows, they've sacked two key officials today. Their head of footy, Brett Burton, their senior assistant coach, Scott Cambrowley, both walking out or both gone from that club tonight. There was a pick swap today between West Coast and Brisbane. West Coast move up six spots from 52 to 46. That's essentially the crux of that one. And as we've just told you, Dan Butler, Carlton out of the race. His manager told us at the start of the week it was down to Carlton or St Kilda. And now Richmond look likely to do a deal with the Saints. It'll be a later pick in the 60s or 70s for Dan Butler. They're not going to stand in his way for his wish to continue his footy career elsewhere at Moorabbin. That was the news, all thanks to Tintacar. Visit tintacar.com.au, now offering open pay, tint now and pay later. Sam's on the line in Mulgrave. Good evening.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm just wondering, what are your thoughts on the trade period going so slowly and not that many deals at all being done? What do you reckon, like, that needs to change in order for more deals, and why do you think it's gone so slowly?
Yeah, it's a good question. I just think clubs are just posturing and they're waiting. The other thing is, you saw Josh Marnie today. He didn't want to go down to AFL House. They need to go down to AFL House to lodge the paperwork. Clubs might be just saying, we may as well do all our deals in one hit rather than to save us four or five trips down to Docklands, down to Harbour Esplanade to get these deals done. So there's no real rush. The clubs, unless the AFL, I don't see how they do it, but unless they put some incentives to get them done or some, you know, a push in any way, clubs are just going to take their time. It's like, Sam, when you do your homework during the week and you've got an assignment ready, you're not going to do your assignment on Monday when it's due for Wednesday. You're going to do it Wednesday night. Everyone does it, and it's just the way of the world. I can't see it. If you made it 7 days, everything's still going to happen on the last day. If you made it 4 days, everything will happen on the last day as well. So I just don't think there's anything around it. We've got a 10-day period now. I think it's about right. Anything shorter and we wouldn't have anything to talk about on Telstra Trade Radio. We'll leave our final call with Jason in Coburg. Good evening, Jason.
Yeah, hey, Mitch. Great work during the week, mate.
Thank you.
Just got two. First of all, Shane Kirsten out of Freo. Has anyone been nibbling around him? Probably likes 1 yard of pace, but is a good kick when he can take the mark.
Haven't heard his name.
The second one was...
Yeah, haven't heard Shane Kirsten's name come up anywhere. He wouldn't cost a club anything. He's now a delisted free agent. Maybe that's one name to keep an eye on post the trade period. Your next point?
Just the sticking point between Geelong and St Kilda with Jack Stephen. We're talking about pick 36 or pick 37. Mm. Are the Saints saying that's too high and Geelong saying that's too much? What's the main impasse?
Well, Stephen Wells said today that 37 is not on the table. I reckon it will form part of it in the end. I reckon the impasse, what they're working through right now is basically how much the wage the Saints pay, whether that's 100 grand, is it up to 200, 300 grand? So that's what the Saints and the Cats are working through. I still think that deal gets done next week, so we'll keep our eyes on that. But I think Jack Stephen will finish the period in the hoops down at Geelong. We'll have a look at the power trade for Makita's cordless power garden range, the landscaper's choice. The big ones we're watching into next week: Tom Papley and his move to Carlton, Joe Danaher and his move to Sydney. The Age reporting tonight that the Bombers have demanded a player in return for Joe Danaher. So we're keen to see how that one unfolds next week. That's a Makita's cordless power garden range, the world's largest range, over 200 tools on battery. I'm out for the week. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be back on Telstra Trade Radio from 6 in the same week.